Welcome back, everybody. It's been a little while, and Tommy, you're here. It's just us two.
I'm here.
Dynamic no duo. No Jeff. Yeah. And emergency apology. I have to fess up. I don't know what happened, but we recorded a phenomenal episode that Jeff had for us. That was Jackass, and we talked all about Jackass and how it was fun.
Yeah, it was probably the best episode we've ever done.
And it's there. There's 46 minutes of silence. I don't know what happened to the file. I don't know what happened to the audio. And so I take full blame responsibility. But I know you've all missed us. We missed you too. I'm sorry the last couple weeks. We've all just been busy. We got busy with summer shit and stuff going on. So we're trying to get back on track here. And so Tommy, what's going on with you? Where the hell are you at currently?
I am in Ohio. I'm in Perrysburg, Ohio, just outside Toledo. And I just performed my first show for Bored Teachers, the teacher comedy social media page. They got like millions of followers. And they do a teacher comedy tour. And I'm on it.
Wow. That's
tonight and tomorrow and Friday and Saturday. I'll be in Toledo tonight and tomorrow and then Indianapolis Friday, Saturday. But by the time this is published, it'll be all over. It'll be done. I'll be back home and I'll either have lots of positive memories or I will have been fired.
Well, we hope the former. And congratulations on that. That's awesome. That's a huge step for you.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Nice.
I get to do 30 minutes in front of a bunch of teachers who get it. They laugh at all my teacher show teacher bits because they're teachers and they get it.
Yeah. And how was the show tonight on a scale of 1 to phenomenal?
It was phenomenal. It was really fun, and I had some bomb-ass quesadillas at the Funny Bone in Toledo. So if anybody ever finds themselves there, get the quesadillas with shrimp.
I feel like quesadillas are very easy to do, but very easy to fuck up as well.
Yes.
Like, it's hard to find a good, solid 100% quesadilla where everything works. Like, the chicken is good, or the whatever is good, and the cheese is melted. You know, like, I'm happy to hear that, because quesadillas are underrated in my book.
Yeah, they are. They're always on like the appetizer menu, or there's at some like Mexican restaurants, like the really authentic ones, you'll find them on the breakfast menu, which I thought was weird. Like, this is it's cheese, meat, and tortilla. Why can't it be dinner?
Yeah, and if you want the very thin version of it, go to Taco Bell. I don't know why I enjoy those, but I basically pile up all four to equal one real size quesadilla and just go to town.
Those are garbage quesadillas, but they are tasty.
They are such good drunk food quesadillas if you ever need them. Shout out to T-Bell. Well, that's awesome. I'm glad you got all your shows coming up. Before school starts, I'm assuming that's happening in the next couple of weeks, scarily.
Yeah.
Or happily. Where are you at in that bucket? Are you excited to go back, or are you like dreading it? Like, oh, here we go. Another school year of brand new kids and whatever's going on.
I'm dreading it because I don't know if you recall, but I'm not on the best of terms with my school district. They don't like the angry gym teacher. So I'm kind of dreading it because I feel like I'm going to go back there, be looking over my shoulder and worried if I'm going to get fired like every day.
I smell sitcom. Hey, here's the year of the war. Let's just get it started. Start a whole new series. Angry gym teacher versus school. No, don't do that. But I think you'll be all right. I think if nothing else, you know what? Maybe the school needs some recognition, right? Maybe it's bringing a little bit of fun back into the workplace.
They don't want it. They don't want it. They want no part of it. They don't appreciate me.
Wow.
So you know what? And I'm saying this publicly on this podcast, so I could get fired.
Well, we
if
don't.
One of the you could one be of lying. The 20 people listening happens to be my principal.
These could be all lies. You don't even work for a school. You've never been in a gym, and we don't even know what school you
Jeff.
Belong to.
I'm actually Jeff. My name is Jeff Biedemann.
Yeah, I'm Jeff Barrett, and we got that figured out. Well, we've got some sad news. I need to pivot immediately to depressing news. So, Sadly, in the last week, when you guys are listening to this, Pee Wee Herman died, dude. Paul Rubens.
Oh, man. That was hard to hear.
I don't like that, because you want to imagine that these childhood icons are just going to live forever.
Yes.
And get very old, and you're going to see them, like, hobble up on stage when they're 99. Like, damn, that's fucking Pee Wee Herman. And that was a shot.
And it was nobody knew what he was. He was struggling with cancer. Nobody knew about it. Yeah. He kind of pulled a Norm Macdonald on us. And like, I thought he was doing great, because he had just come out with a Pee Wee reboot on Netflix, and he looked phenomenal. He looked like it would look like Pee Wee. He had like a couple wrinkles, maybe one or two, but for the most part, I mean, I know that Pee Wee wears like makeup and everything, but he looked great. He was bouncing around. He was going, you know, the whole nine yards. It was Pee Wee,
man, and it's crazy to think that, you know, not saying those shows don't exist nowadays, but I feel like the late 80s, early 90s really paved the way for just like the making learning fun for kids. Nowadays, I feel like, again, I don't have kids, obviously you do, but like, I feel like it's so much in your face now, and like overly like, hi kids, oh my gosh, blah, like, what color is the sky, you know, like, I feel like back then, like, they didn't treat you like idiots, really.
No, and back then, they also let you have fun.
Yeah.
Like, Pee-wee's Playhouse, there were educational moments, but then there was also just, you know, Miss Yvonne trying to hit on Pee-wee, and Pee-wee, like, you know. It wasn't all educational. They let us have fun. And I feel like, today's kids shows, they're either all educational or complete garbage that's going to rot your kid's mind.
Yeah. And like,
Lanky Box fuckers on YouTube. I hate those guys.
Yeah, I'm sure there's so many different YouTube channels that are just like, oh my God. Like, your kid loves it, but you're just ready to.
It's awful. They suck them in, and it's just mindless garbage.
Yep. And that's all they want. And then you got to play it on repeat a million times. But I was looking at some of the cast. That Lawrence Fishburne was a regular on there.
Cowboy
and Phil
Curtis.
Hartman was also on there. Like, it was a pretty stacked show. And, you know, I think a lot of what we learned back then, it was okay to be weird and kooky. You know, I feel like they really allowed us to just, like, you know, kids growing up in the 90s, like, look at our fucking haircuts and our clothes. Like, we needed to be reminded that it was okay that we're all fucking weird. And that was a nice place to be. A nice, safe place to be was Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Yeah. It was very alt. It was very bizarre.
Yeah. The couch is talking.
Pee Wee let his freak flag fly. And, you know, Miss Yvonne would come in with her giant titties.
Oh, huge.
Do you remember her cleavage?
Yes, that
was a kid's show. That was a child's. We were 5 years old looking at those milkers.
Yep, we're just like, mama, you know. Like,
and she runs in, and she just wants the hell out of Pee Wee, man. She was all over that.
And he's Pee-wee. Just oblivious. Oh, you wee-wee. Know, just, yeah.
She wanted Pee-wee's wee-wee, okay?
He absolutely did. And the Mecca Lekka High, Mecca Holy Shit, that guy. What was his name? Do you remember?
Jambi the Genie.
Yes.
Jambi.
Jambi.
Mecca Lekka High. And then he would have everybody repeat it, and then it would just get harder and harder, and eventually he would just be doing gibberish. Like, Mecca Lekka High, like, blah, 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 blah. I think Jambi would probably be canceled, honestly, if we're talking about, you know, 2023 Pee Wee's Playhouse,
sure.
You think? I don't think that would fly. I don't think you could do blueface anymore. I think that's offensive to Smurfs.
Way too much going on in that show to be allowed at all. It would probably be like if anything, it would be an Adult Swim show late night.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be it. But at least they could play with the whole, like, you know, TVMA thing at that point. But still weird. I found it interesting. I was looking on the Wikipedia page that Tim Burton was the director of Pee-wee's Big Adventure. It was a young director, quote unquote, that Tim Burton, 1985, made Pee-wee's Big Adventure. And I remember that being a huge success. Like, I remember him trying to look for his fucking bike. Like, someone wrote the script, like, it's Pee-wee, he's looking for his bike, it's a bunch of misadventures. And like, just, I remember, I haven't seen it in probably 15 years. But a lot of the scenes are iconic and stand out.
I think, like, it's on Netflix.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Like, it's just like...
Doesn't he end up, like, in the Alamo?
the Alamo, and there's the big basement. Movie sets, and they're like up in a dinosaur like head where they're, I don't know, like touring, and then they're in the bar, the Tequila. Hello.
Yeah. The Alamo, I don't want to say the Alamo Instagram page, or the official Instagram page for the Alamo in Texas made a post in tribute to Paul Rubens. And they said, people keep coming and asking about the basement, because that's, I guess, where Pee-wee went.
There's no basement and like, we in just the Alamo? Clarify,
there's no basement in the Alamo.
Oh, man. But
the one thing that I didn't like about Pee-wee's Big Adventure, and then also the new one that they released in the last like 5 years or so, there was no playhouse.
Yeah.
Like, I liked Pee-wee's play. I mean, Pee-wee's great, but I want Pee-wee and I want the playhouse. Like, I want to see Conky, the robot. Yeah,
I thought it was very, if I recall, maybe I'm wrong. I thought it was.
Conky was our favorite.
Yeah, I thought it was, like, very, very brief. I thought it was, like, the first 30 seconds is, like, him coming outside, or, like, the whole Rube Goldberg machine of, like, how he made toast. But it still, it didn't really, it didn't really revolve around him being in or near it. I mean, he was having a big adventure.
He
was
no playhouse.
He's basically like a 5-year-old man exploring the world for the first time, apparently.
True. And you know what? That just made me think of something. I don't know if this is already like a fan theory, but maybe the playhouse was just all his imagination.
Oh.
Like the house that he woke up in, the house with the toaster machine, or the that Rube Goldberg machine of making toast. That was his actual house. But the playhouse was his imagination.
Oh, interesting.
And Miss Yvonne's giant titties were actually imaginary.
Yeah, they're actually
like, she wasn't even a real person.
Wow, that's a pretty good imagination, though. I accept that.
Yeah. Okay, let's get this theory going. Let's
get that started, because maybe he's just like in a crack den where his and he has to do that as an escape, and he's looking around. There's a toaster on the floor that turns into a robot.
He's hooked up to the Matrix.
Oh.
And that explains why Morpheus keeps showing up in a cowboy costume.
Oh my God.
Because, you know, Morpheus, Lawrence Fishburne, was Cowboy Curtis.
And I think Agent Smith was Jambi the Genie.
Oh,
for sure. Just, like, keeping him in check. Like, make a wish. Don't fuck it up.
I think, no, you know who Agent Smith was? It was that giant salesman that would show up. Do you remember that?
Oh, God, yes.
Over the door, and they would play the Alfred Hitchcock music. Salesman!
Oh,
that was so
God. Funny. I love it. Wow. It's such a big impact for one person. I mean, this is just one show with one person we're talking about. And yes, there were movies, but man, what an iconic character. And it just kind of made me think about, you know, other shows growing up. Like, what were some of those other ones, whether it's animated or live action or whatever, what were some of those other kind of growing up learning shows that you enjoyed watching?
Oh, definitely Mr. Rogers, the OG.
Yeah.
Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. I've actually like read a couple books about him. I kind of got like into Mr. Rogers' lore after I had my own kids. And he was just he was like a true blue. Like, he was the real deal. Like, he was a solid guy.
Yeah.
He grew up very privileged. Like, his parents were rich. He grew up in like the 50s and his house had air conditioning. Like, that's how rich he was, cuz only rich people had that shit back then. But then he just kind of dedicated the rest of his like adult life, his professional life, to just helping kids deal with their emotions.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah, he was awesome. And Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood is now the kind of the new Mr. Rogers. And it's like a spinoff. Daniel Tiger is the son of Daniel Striped Tiger, the puppet in Mr. Rogers. You with me so far?
I'm following.
The next generation. It's TNG for Mr. Rogers. And all the characters from the original land of make-believe, like King Fred, they're all in it. It's a great show. It's on PBS. I love it.
Kids
love it.
I like that. I was a fan of, I feel like Sesame Street was a big one. You know, a lot of iconic characters. And that was well before like the 90s. But still, it was thriving in the 90s. And it was probably, I'll say, one of the last decades where the show actually was successful. You learn a lot and you have fun. And like, again, it teaches you like these random life lessons that maybe you don't quite understand yet, but you're like kind of following along. Like, where did my friend go? Well, he's not coming back. What does that mean? It's like, well, he's dead. You know, they don't come out and say, he's dead, dude. He died. He fell down. He died in the street. But like
they help you deal with it.
Yeah. And Barney was another good one. Like, you know, just dealing with everyday issues, and it kind of played in the playground, in the classroom, and like helped you learn some things. Like those were fun.
Yeah. And then going back to Sesame Street, though, Sesame Street is still going strong. I just want to say, as a dad of 5 year olds, they, and like, I got to say too, as a comedian, Sesame Street has some really good comedy writers on staff. It sounds dumb, but like some of the sketches they do on Sesame Street are funnier than SNL. I swear to God. There was one recently, it was Cookie Monster and Chance the Rapper, and they're doing a play together, and Cookie Monster gets cast as like a doctor or something mundane, and Chance the Rapper gets the role of Monster Who Loves Cookies.
Oh gosh.
And Cookie Monster loses his fucking shit. He's like, what? That is my part. I was born to play that part. Why does he get to play this part?
Oh my God.
And Chance the Rapper's just reading his lines going, om nom nom nom.
Yeah. Oh my God. It was gold. That's good. That's great. Wow. I see, like, that's, I think, some of the best parts about those shows was it was at least tolerable for parents to sit and watch with you.
Exactly.
Like, if they had to. Not that they always do, but like, okay, sure, let's watch another episode. But like, hey, they crack in some parent jokes every once in a while, and like, stuff flies over our head for sure.
And that's something I think is missing from a lot of the current kids shows. I think they're just for kids because, and I think it might have something to do with the fact that like each member of the family has their own screen now, typically.
Yeah.
Like pretty much like these, lots of households have multiple TVs. They got smartphones, you got tablets.
Yeah.
So you can put something on a tablet like Blippi. We can talk about Blippi if you want to talk about
Blippi. Oh, God.
I'm a Blippi expert with my kids. And he's actually very similar to Pee-wee. I think he's kind of like next generation Pee-wee. But everybody's got their own screen now. In those days when we grew up, most households had like one TV. So you kind of, you know, if you're putting on a kid's show, you had to throw something in for the adults. Otherwise, they would lose their minds and change the channel.
Yeah, you know? And I think the one company that still does this pretty well is Disney. Like, Disney movies. Oh,
definitely. Pixar, for sure. Yeah, Disney, like Pixar.
The best at just peppering in some adult jokes that are so... A lot of them are, like, way off color and, like, really dirty at times.
Sometimes, yeah.
And it just flies right over the kid's head. And it's like, oh, you know, you see every parent in the theater laughing. And they're like, what's so funny? What do you mean?
Yeah.
That
they're true, like, family movies. Like, the whole family can enjoy them.
Yeah. And I mean, I wish they would still do that with kid shows nowadays. It seems like it's just falling apart. But there was another show I really liked. I think it was The Muppets was one of them. The Muppet Babies. Like, I don't know. I feel like, again, I know I'm not trying to get too animated and like getting into just cartoons now, but I feel like The Muppets was another show where you got the guys up in the booth in the theater cracking jokes. Like, I don't know. It was just like entertaining. Yeah. It was fun. They would try to teach you stuff.
They would do the movies too. I miss Muppet movies. I think... Like, I want more Muppet movies. Yeah. They have, like, they used to do, like, you know, they had Muppet Christmas Carol.
Oh, yeah.
Muppet this, Muppet that. Like, where's Muppet Interstellar? I would watch that and enjoy the hell out of it.
Yeah.
You know? Like, where's Muppet The Dark Knight? Like,
Put
the Muppets in these crazy popular dramatic movies. Like, why not? Do it.
Moppenheimer. For sure. I can't wait for that 3-hour fucking shit show of a movie. It'll be great. We have to toot our horn a little bit. Blue's Clues started with us, ladies and gentlemen, right smack dab in the 90s. We were the first to watch it, and that was kind of the first mixed animated / live action show that was entertaining and, didn't treat you like an idiot. Like, it was for young kids, but hey, I found all the clues. I was a fucking champ. I felt good by the end of the episode, and it was a nice, warm, relaxing place to go back to almost every day.
Gotta love it. Steve left. He left us.
He left us all. He left us. I don't remember why. I remember reading recently because I think all the Steves that existed got back together for like some MCU type event.
No, yeah, they did. I watched it.
And it was
yeah, all the Steves plus the new guy.
Yeah, and I forget why he left. I don't. I think he was just done with it. I think he was just like. Hey,
well, he filmed a message to us. Did you remember that? Did you see that? It was fairly recent. He did it in character as Steve, and he was like talking to us as adults now. Oh. And he was like, "Hey, we had a lot of fun, didn't we? And then I left. I want to talk about that real quick." And he like laid it all out, and I can't remember the exact reasons. Yeah. I think he just had other shit going on.
So I knocked up two girls at the same time, and I had a lot of bills to pay, and Blue was not helped. No, I
got caught naked in a movie theater. Yeah. Oh, no, that was Pee-wee. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, that was Pee-wee. God.
That was Pee-wee. We don't want to talk about that, but yeah, it was totally Pee-wee.
We'll let him rest in peace, but hey, we all make mistakes. God, that was such a terrible attempt.
Uh-oh.
Oopsie. There we go. Gullah Gullah Island was another one. That was a fun, like, tropical island learning type show with just all the crazy weird characters, and I don't know, man, we just, again,
do you remember Zubily Zoo?
Ooh, yes I do.
Have you like looked up clips or pictures of that show recently? Because it's creepy as hell.
No, I'm afraid
it's hard to believe that we as kids were like, yay, Builder Beaver, and you look at it now and it's this grown man in a beaver makeup suit. It's creepy.
Oh my God! You know what you just creepy reminded images. Me of was Lamb Chops. How did I forget about fucking Lamb Chops?
Oh yeah, I used
dude.
To love Lamb Chops. Sherry, was her name Sherry Lewis?
Sherry, yeah. And what was it? It was Lamb Chops, and who the fuck?
It
else
was the
was
horse,
there?
The Charlie horse.
Lamb Chops characters. I gotta look this up.
Charlie horse was one of them.
Okay.
And then I don't remember. But he looked more like a donkey though. He had like huge teeth, and I can't think of any others.
Damn. Yeah, that was That was a great. I don't even know what it was about that show. What it did or why, but
they did the song that never ends.
Yes, they did that. And like, what was? Yeah. I forget. Like, I don't remember anything else. But this is the song that never ends. And that was
it. It goes on and on, my friends. Some people started singing it, not knowing what it was, and they'll continue singing it forever just because this is the song that
I
can't believe I remember the whole thing.
Wow, I can't believe you could either. You unlocked
that in years.
Core memory right there. That show was fucking good. God, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? Like, now we're getting into game shows here, but like, I don't know, man. Like, I feel like we were so privileged to grow up in a time where I feel like it was all the years of good things were kind of culminating into one decade of just like live entertainment and shows and movies and stuff that would help, help everybody learn. Like, your parents didn't really care what channel you watched back then because it was all
They didn't have to police it like today.
Right.
And like today, my kids will turn on something, you know, I'll put on something positive on YouTube.
Yeah.
But then that YouTube algorithm, if you turn on autoplay, they're eventually going to be watching some 16-year-old kid playing video games and using a bunch of racial slurs. Like, that's YouTube wants everybody watching that garbage, and they will eventually bring them there. So you got to police it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I think not saying it was like we all ended up perfect from all those things, but I think it just helped us realize that, you know, everybody's different. Try to learn the differences in people and accept people for who they are. And like, everybody's weird and kooky and goofy. And like, I remember a show called Zoom where like people would send in homemade videos and stuff. It's like, send it to Zoom. And like, they would just, I don't know, they would just have a good time on the show. It was always like just good feelings, you know, like we were just showered with
good
like
vibes.
Feel good and good vibes and stuff like that. And, I don't know. I think it kind of worked.
It's okay to cry. It's okay to be mad, and it's okay to be silly.
Yeah, it's okay to be sad. You know.
Yeah.
Let's all have a cry. Everybody that's listening, if you need to cry, go for it. Just we'll give you 5 seconds to do that, and then fucking man up. Let's go.
But then
pussy.
I got to a point. I don't know if this happened to you, but I got to a point when I was like, you know, later elementary years, I started getting too mature for these kids shows, and Barney in particular. Myself, my brother, and my cousin started a club called the I Hate Barney Club.
Oh, boy.
And the whole point of the club was just to, you know, remind people that we, just because we're kids doesn't mean we watch all this kid shit.
Yeah.
We're not, Barney sucks. We're not into Barney. And we, so we would like, we, it was a literal club. We had like a logo and we drew pictures of like Barney getting murdered. It was actually kind of dark now that I'm thinking about it. But we, but then occasionally, like, one of us would walk into the family room and catch the other one watching Barney.
Oh.
And the excuse we always made, this is, I swear to God, this is a true story. The excuse was always, well, I'm just watching it to see how stupid it is.
Yeah, it's so dumb. Just look so how dumb it is.
Can't believe kids, we can't believe we ever liked stuff like this.
You were smiling, you were kicking your feet, and your hands were on your chin. What do you mean?
Yeah.
You were just looking for how dumb right. it was.
And I'm thinking back now, Barney was a little annoying, I'm not going to lie. It was kind of an annoying show. But he didn't deserve all that hate. So I'm sorry, Barney.
I know this is more of a game show, but like Bozo, you know, like.
Bozo's Sunday, what was it? Bozo's Sunday.
Yeah.
Not Sunday Funday. What was it called? God damn it.
Bozo's fucking, no. Bozo's.
Super Sunday? Was it Super Sunday?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Sunday? Was it always on Sundays? Bozo Super Sunday Show. You're right.
Yeah, I think that was it.
Yeah.
And he had little games with the audience, and you could go and sit in the audience, and you could get your number called.
And Bozo Buckets, I mean, there's only one kind of Bozo Buckets in the world,
yeah.
And they did it. And this was based out of Chicago, too, wasn't it?
I think it was, yeah.
Damn.
Bozo Buckets.
Yeah, it was.
Now you line up some buckets and you put a ball and you try to throw a ball into those. That's Bozo Buckets. That's the name of it. He invented that.
Damn. This went from September 11th, 1994 to July 14th, 2001. That's a pretty 17 years. Shit.
That's almost like Oprah level shit right there.
Yeah. Bozo the Clown. Fucking A, dude. And like Barney, same with Barney. Like the people in the costumes, like, I don't know. I don't know how great that must have been for them to like move the mouth around, you know, like to operate all the things and like be on your cue. I can only imagine behind the scenes, like some, like, you know, I don't know, some circus performer that's like rough around the edges, like cut and come on, Barney. God damn it. This fucking suit's so hot. And like the kids have to go to a little tent to let Barney vent for a little bit. You know, just give him his peace and quiet. Don't look him in the eyes.
Yeah. In Bozo with the clown makeup, clowns are not cute anymore.
No.
I don't know if you've picked up on this, but like they've been used so, the killer clown trope has been used so much in movies ever since, you know, Stephen King's It was like, that was the first example, but that was kind of like for a long time, just a standalone movie. But now there's killer clowns everywhere. You see clowns in horror movies. They're always creepy.
Yeah.
My sons are scared of clowns.
Yeah.
And like they've said before, like, da-da. Are clowns bad? Are clowns evil? Are clowns like witches? I'm like, no, clowns are sweet and friendly. That's not, mostly they just want to make you laugh or smile, but like they're scared of clowns.
Yeah, I can happily say I was never scared of clowns. I personally don't.
We had Bozo because we had Bozo. Well, yeah.
I think
what's there to be scared of?
And like the Joker, I know like the bad guy's the Joker now and he kind of reinvigorated, but you know.
He's the Joker. He's like.
Or not what was it? House of a Thousand Corpses. Was that the clown?
I think there's a clown in that one, but you know, that came, I think we were in high school and that came out.
So I don't know. I'd never get the whole people scared. Like people will literally scream and run if they see a clown in real life.
Stop ruining clowns, Hollywood.
Like Ronald clowns McDonald had to bounce because of you all.
Yeah, they can't put him in the commercials anymore.
No. And he used to be a cool guy. I used to want to go to McDonald's just because Ronald could show up and be there.
Yeah.
Or Grimace. And then I'd punch him in the face. I don't know why. He just has a punchable face.
He does.
But, I mean, there was, like, so many good shows, especially in the 90s and growing up. I don't know. I wish they would kind of have a renaissance of that. I'm sure nowadays, you know, kids or people that are listening are like, well, there's a lot of good shows, you know, like I just don't know what those
there's
could
some.
Be. I'm sure there are
there's
a few.
You know, there's Daniel a lot. PBS has a lot of they got really good kid shows on PBS. I can't complain. They're not like entertaining for adults, but there's good content on there for kids. PBS is OG solid choice. There's some good shows on like Netflix. But then there's just a lot of annoying ones. But then there's this guy named Blippi, who is basically, I think, reincarnation of Pee Wee Herman. Have you heard of Blippi?
I've heard his name multiple times, but I don't think I've ever watched him.
I mean, he's kind of like, he's like a cross between Pee Wee and Mr. Rogers, because he's a little more educational, but he's got this high-pitched, like, Pee Wee Herman voice. He wears a bow tie, just like old Pee Wee.
Okay.
And he doesn't have a playhouse. He, like, tours around to different facilities. He'll go to playgrounds and just he'll run around and play and do a silly voice and be like, oh, this slide is the color yellow. And these swings are the color blue. Like, you know, tries to make it educational. So good. It's good. It's kind of annoying as an adult, but my kids were obsessed with Blippi for a long time. We had their 3-year-old birthday party was Blippi themed, and I dressed up as Blippi.
Oh, wow.
And I'm not going to lie, I looked pretty good in that Blippi suit. And when I went outside, there was a point during the party when I went outside in my costume, and a little girl across the street, like, came running out the front door.
Oh, I swear to God.
She shouts at me from across the street, I love your videos.
It's the YouTube man.
Okay, you're welcome. Hey.
Oh, God. You could probably make some bank off of maybe not get sued.
I could, yeah. But, make just enough to not get sued, yeah.
Angry Blippi. Just do
keep a cap on that.
Do the angry version of every Pee-wee Blippi. I think we can make this a series and create a lot of new channels. I think we could do it.
Yeah,
I like that. I like that.
And that's like a multiverse thing.
And that's the interesting thing. Like, I guess that's where it's going to is like TV. How many people are actually watching TV anymore? Like actually network TV. So people are just flocking to YouTube and starting channels. And I'm sure there's a lot of other entertainers out there that are the likes of Pee Wee and Mr. Rogers. And, you know, that's the thing, though. It's like, back then, there was only a few. Now there's probably 400,000 Blippi types.
There is,
with different viewer counts and subscribers. I mean,
there's Miss Rachel. That's another really popular one right now.
Okay, yep.
There's like lots of these little personalities. They're a dime a dozen, but very few of them get to the level that like Blippi has gotten to. He's like a huge celebrity now.
Damn.
And he makes enough money from social media that he's like set. He's not even Blippi anymore. He literally passed the torch to a new Blippi.
Damn.
And now there's a new guy with the exact same costume who has taken up the mantle as Blippi. It's like Batman. That's what it's going to be like. They're just going to choose a new Blippi or James Bond. They'll just choose new Blippis like every
Doctor
5 years
Who.
Or so.
I've never watched it, but I think that's how it goes too. Oh my God. Well, the dude's only 35. Man. Yeah. Congrats to you, dude.
That sucks.
How many millions do you have? Please tell us immediately what's in your bank account.
I follow him on Instagram. He has a lovely wife. They just had a baby, and he posts pictures of them just like jet setting around the world.
Dang.
With on his YouTube money.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Hey, go enjoy it, right? You created this whole empire. Might as well enjoy some of it.
Yeah.
Most of it.
And
all
it's
of it.
A lot of positivity for the little ones, which is important.
I like that. Well, this was a very positive episode. I like it. I feel like after a couple
good
weeks
feels.
Hiatus and, you know, we had this lost episode that we will try to recreate one day for you all. We have
this
to.
This was
we
a talk, tribute to that episode because that was the best episode.
Yeah, it was great. And we'll try to find a way to, you know, make that come back to life at some point.
We will resurrect it like a phoenix from the ashes.
Yeah, I know. That's probably why Jeff's not here today, because the IT gods deleted it somehow.
It was his episode and you blew it.
It was too good to be listened to by anybody. So we're sorry. It was just that good. We had to destroy the tape.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Well,
Watergate and that shit.
Hey, Tommy, go ahead and plug your shit away. I mean, obviously you're out in a couple places this weekend, but what else you got coming up?
Nothing.
Hey, that's good.
I just realized that hit me today as I was coming down from the high of this show. I was like, man, this is awesome. And then I remembered that I don't have anything else, because I do this where when I have a big gig coming up, all I think about is that gig. And then when it comes and goes, I'll realize, oh, I haven't gotten booked anywhere for the next month or two. I need to get on that.
Well, so, yeah. But the good news is you have some kind of home bases that you go to and you're, you know, around town, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm around town and follow me at Angry Gym Teacher.
Cool.
Instagram and TikTok.
I like that. Yeah, go ahead and follow me at Spooked You on TikTok. I just post random ass funny videos. It's slowly but surely getting there. But hey, Jeff, we miss you. We hope you listen to this whole thing. And without further ado, it's been long awaited. You all waited 3 weeks now. Dave Bennett's lovely safety tip. I can only imagine what appendage is going to be in jeopardy, Tom.
I think we know which appendage it is. It's our favorite appendage.
It is. Well, let's, Dave, please take it away.
When hiking at our national parks, make sure you always use the trail. And make sure you're always watching out for rattlesnakes, reptiles, centipedes, scorpions, and any other venomous creature. They may bite you in the penis, and you will lose it.